Well, good morning. Again, it's good to see you. Appreciate you, your presence today. And thank you for all those who are listening in by way of internet as we open the precious word of the Lord today. And it is so precious. The guideline of life. We're going to be, I ask you to turn with me, if you will, to 1 Timothy. We'll look at the third chapter, 1 Timothy. Read a couple of verses there with you, and then we're going to be all over the place. From then, we'll be in Romans, a lot of in Ephesians, 1 Corinthians, and 2 Corinthians. As we look God's Word today, and ask you one question. What is the church? What is the church? You know, when we stand here or sit here today, and you left home and you said, I'm going to church. Well, this is what we call church, a building where we gather together and worship. But we want to discuss a few things this morning about the church. And one verse here in 1 Timothy is the thing that caught my attention when I was looking at this. Ask if you will to bow with us in a word of prayer, and then we'll look at our scriptures together. Lord, again today we come asking for your leadership and your guidance, for your understanding. Lord, by the precious Holy Spirit, we ask that you'd walk us through word for word and verse for verse. May we learn more and feel closer and realize what your purpose for us in life is. Lord, I thank you for each one who has gathered with us today, and thank you for their presence here in the building, but I thank you for those who also listen in. Lord, it is so sweet to trust in Jesus, rely on you, and think on you, and know and realize that we have a God that loves us, a God that knows our needs, a God that takes care of us, a God that will never forsake us, always present, present help in time of need. But we, as your children, we also know that we owe you a service. And Lord, we need to live a life that would show forth Christ. So we ask you to give us that ability and that strength and that guidance that others might see Christ in us. Because the most important thing in any person's life today is their relationship with Christ. Makes no difference what else might be going on in life. That's the most precious and the most pressing thing. Where do we stand with our Lord and Savior? Bless now as we study together today, and may you be glorified and may we be humbled down before you. In the name of Christ we do pray. Amen. I thought about last Sunday's lesson a whole lot. Since last Sunday, I just can't get out of my mind that when my journey's ended, and the devil fights us all the way as we go, yeah. We're going to be like those wise men. When we follow that precious Holy Spirit light as we depart, and he takes us to the Father. I want you to think on that seriously. When those wise men went to follow that story, they rejoiced exceeding great joy. When I depart, I'm going to rejoice with exceeding great joy. And I'm going to follow the Holy Spirit to the house where he's at.
Amen.
And it will present me to it. and I can bow down before his face and offer him the gifts that he blessed me. Whatever the crowns are that he's blessed me with, I hope I've at least got one somewhere. And I can present it back to him. How sweet the word is and how sweet he is. And that's the reason that we look at what we look at today. And why are you here today? And what's your purpose here today? Let me read this verse to you in 1 Timothy. We look at chapter number 3. In verse number 14. Now, Paul says, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly." So Paul's on his journeys. And look at verse number 15. "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest knowest how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of the Lord, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." There's a mouthful in that verse within itself. But the phrase that I want us to focus on this morning is this phrase. In the 15th verse, "that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave in the house of the Lord, which is the church of the living God." It's a pillar and it's a ground of truth. Now, I want us to look for just a little bit this morning. We say this is the church. Well, he's talking about a church in this verse. But he's talking about how we ought to behave ourselves. Now, you pay attention to that phrase, in the house of God. Now, he's talking about a behavior that takes place in the house of God. So keep that thought in mind now as we look at this together. Now I want you to back up with me to Romans in chapter number 10. And then we're going to just be flipping through and looking at some scriptures in relationship to that. If we look at chapter number 10 and we look at verse number 9, a familiar verse, a very familiar verse. "But if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Now, we're going to put a focus today on church and how we ought to behave ourselves in the house of the Lord. Now, we got to determine this morning, when we look at behaving ourselves in the church of God, what are we talking about? Where are we talking about? When we say that. So now he says that you've got to be a part of the church. Now, we're not talking about a part of this building. We're not talking about a membership of Benson Grove Baptist Church. We are talking about the Church of the Living God. So we want to see what the Church of the Living God is. So number one, to start with, is talking to an individual that you must be saved by the marvelous grace of Jesus Christ before you are a part of the Church of God or of the house of God. Now watch these scriptures as we go through. Flip back over now to the book of Ephesians. And let's look at some scriptures here in the book of Ephesians. And we're going to go chapter 2. And look, we're going to be looking at very familiar scriptures this morning as we study this together. And it's scriptures, a lot of that. We've read these. Brother Billy read them a couple of Sundays ago and read some of these. Now, in Ephesians, if we look in the second chapter and we start at verse number 1, and you. Now, I hope that every one of us in here and everybody's listening to me this morning are one of the yous that we're looking at in these verses. And you hath he quickened. Now, what does the word quicken mean? You know, quicken means to make alive. So you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin. So we were dead in trespasses and sin. We were made alive by Christ. Now look at this next verse. Wherein in times past. Look at that phrase, in times past. Before you and I were quickened, this is the way we were. Now, if you say that you've been saved and you know Christ in saving grace, and you're still like verse number 2, you better be checking up. Because it says, where in times past you walked. Notice it says you're walking. You're doing something. You're busy at something. According to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Now who is that? We know that's the devil. So you're following him and not following Christ. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So where does he work? He works in the children of disobedience. Now, among whom also we all had our conversations in time past. Now, notice a word or two in this. Among whom we all, every single solitary one of us, all born in sin. There's none righteous, no not one. And we had our conversations. Notice the tense of that. You had your conversation. You're different now if you know Christ. You had your conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. So now that's the whole 9 yards. And were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But I love that word in God's word. But God, in verse number 4, who is what? He's rich, and he's rich in what? In mercy. Aren't you glad he is? Because if he weren't rich in mercy, every one of us would be on the road to hell. But he's rich in mercy. Now notice, for his great love, and notice the word great, wherewith he loved us. He's merciful. He has great love. And with that mercy and with that great love, in spite of us, we ourselves, an old sinful nature, it says he did what? He loved us. Now that's hard for you and I to get a grasp on. But it says he loved us. Even when what? Even when we were dead in sin hath quickened us together with Christ. So where does the quickening come from? It comes from God through Christ, and He has quickened us together through Christ. He's made us alive through Christ. Now, what I'm trying to do is here to push you into position to know and understand that this is where you are if you're part of the church. Now, He says He has raised us up together. Notice, He's raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, He's already done that for us. He's already done that for us. I can remember some times more when I could really feel His presence. He revealed Himself how real He is. Oh no, you might not have seen Him. I might not have seen Him, but I sure could feel Him. I know that He's real. And I know that I've been saved by that mercy and grace and love that He's extended to me through Jesus Christ, His Son. But He says that in ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. In other words, we ain't seen nothing yet. You just hang on. Because one of these days He's going to give you the whole cup and saucer full and let it just overflow. He says, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So you and I sure can't boast about our salvation. We didn't do anything to deserve it. Remember, we've just talked about He's rich in mercy and rich in love and He's rich in grace. Now, I want you to look at these next verses now. For we are what? His workmanship. Now you let that soak in for just a moment. We are His workmanship. Now, if you think you could do anything to get yourself saved, you're way out in left field. And if you think you can do anything to make you work for Christ, you're in left field too, because if it was not for His Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, you would not do anything to serve Him. Now look at this verse. It says, we are His workmanship. He's done what's been done in your life and in my life. And He said, we are created. What's create? That's something new, fellas. Ladies and gentlemen, that's something new. We are created, and we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So where does our ability to do good works come from? Where does our ability to live righteous come from? Everything about us in our Christian life comes from God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Our strength and our abilities come through and by Him and by the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the same thing now that's made you and I a part of the church, not this building. You are a member of Benson Grove Baptist Church, but this is a small number of people that are part of the big church, the Church of the Living God. Now, Paul says, how ought you to behave yourself in the house of the Lord? So let's keep going. And then he says, wherefore remember that being in times past Gentiles in the flesh and uncircumcised and separated from God with, and without any hope. We talked about that. Now, while you're in Ephesians, flip over to the fourth chapter of Ephesians. And look at verse number 20. But you have not learned so Christ, if so be that you have heard him and been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. I had never really looked at that verse to this degree before. But now you look at this verse. If so be that ye have heard him, heard who? Heard him. You say, well, I ain't never talked to Jesus. If you and the Holy Spirit have ever had a conversation, you've talked with him. He says, if you've heard him, have been taught by him, as the truth is where? It's in Jesus. Not in man's junk. It's in Jesus. And he says that you do what? If you've heard him, if you've been taught by him, if you know the truth that's in Jesus, then what takes place? He says that ye put off concerning the former conversations the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Now, here you come into picture somewhat. Because now if you've heard him and you've been taught of him and you know the gospel, then you're going to do something. He says, now it's time for you to put off the former conversation and the life and the way the old man lived. We are a different individual. We're a changed individual. We've been saved. We're a new man. We're created in Christ, a new creature. We've got now a new nature. And now, even though we still have the old natural man, and that old natural man gives us a fit, but you've also got a new man in you now. And we need to listen to the new man. And mean to be led by what the new man says. Because that new man is that's been born by the precious Holy Spirit of God in you. So we need to be listening to the new man and put off the old man. Because that old man is corrupt and deceitful and full of lust. He says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and holiness. Now, might I remind you again that we've just read over in Ephesians, the second chapter, and it says in verse number 10 that we're created in Christ Jesus, right? Okay, we're created in Christ Jesus. Well, here, look at this 24th verse again, that ye put on the new man, which after God is what? Is created in righteousness and true holiness. So it's created in Christ. And Christ is righteous and true and holy. So we need to be killing the old man and putting on the new man. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking evil, speak to every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. We're what of one another? We are members of one another. Be ye angry and sin not. Bite your tongue. hard thing to do sometimes. He said, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the what? To the devil. So what does that tell us? It tells us just because we are created in Christ, just because we are a new man, that don't get rid of the devil. He's still there. And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be there until we take our last breath.
Yes, sir.
And won't it be, that goes back to what I was talking about, a wise man. Won't it be good when death door open and your soul depart from the body and you say, see you, buddy.
Amen.
And I'll watch you go to hell too, by the way. I'll watch you bow before my Lord one of these days. Won't that be good? You don't have to worry about him anymore. He'll be off your back. Neither give place to the devil, because he's ever present. He's ever working. Let him that stole steal no more. Rather, let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good, that he may have to give to them that needeth. So it's our responsibility, those of our brothers and sisters and those who have need, who can't help themselves. I think it's our responsibility to help them. But if you're just sorry and don't want to work, I don't owe you anything. You might feel different from that than I do. But if you're able to work and you just don't want to work because you think you can get it without having to work, I don't have a great hurting in my heart to help you. He says, let no corrupt communications proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of the edifying, that it may minister grace unto who? Unto the hearers. Unto the hearers. You're being watched, and I'm being watched. If you say that you're a Christian, and your life is under a microscope, well, you might be the only message some of them ever read, ever hear, or ever look at. In Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians, in chapter number 3, and verse number 16. And we're going to get personal here a minute. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God does what? Dwell in you. Know ye not this body, that you are the temple of God? God is indwelled. He just told us we're a new creature. Now he's telling us that the Holy Spirit is indwelled in us. And we are temple of God, it says. What does that tell you about your body? What does that tell you about an individual? If my body, where I live, is a temple for the Lord, then who? He says it's a temple of whose? It's a temple of God. He's bought me with a price. I belong to Him. He gave Christ, His Son, death on Calvary's tree and shed his precious blood, that I might be made a temple of his, that I might be created in God, in Christ, a new creature. And he says now, in that temple is where the Holy Spirit dwells also. Keep that thought in mind. The Holy Spirit dwells there. In number 6 of 6th chapter of the book of Corinthians. And here I want you to look with me at verse number 6th chapter, verse number 19. What? Question, what? Think on that. What? He says, what? Know ye not that you are what? Body. Now, it specifically says what, don't it? Your body is what? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. Now, it just says, we've just looked at my body is the temple of God. He's bought me and paid for me. He's paid a price for me. But not only that, he says, now that body that you live in is now what? It's now a temple, a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. So every one of us this morning who know Christ as our personal Savior, we have the indwelling Holy Spirit that lives in this body that's the temple of God. And aren't you glad? Because that is your God conscience. That is your God mind. That's the thing that focuses you and I on Christ and who He is and what He's done and how blessed we are and how thankful we better be this morning for what He has, where He's brought us from. Amen. And where He's taken us to.
Yep.
We have a tendency to do like the nation of Israel when everything is going good. And we're just getting fat on the blessings of God. We have a tendency to forget where they come from because everything's just coasting along so good. He says, now you're a temple of that living God. He says, for ye, here's your number 20 now. This is why you are a temple of the God and of the Holy Spirit. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, since you've been bought with a price, and since you and I are the temple of God, and since God owns our body, and since our body is indwelled with the Holy Spirit of God, then in verse number 20, it tells you something. What does it say in verse 20? For you're bought with a price. Okay? So what? For you're bought with a price. Therefore, do what? Glorify God in your what? In your body. And in your what? Spirit. Next phrase. Give me the next three words. Which are God's.
Amen.
You don't own yourself and I don't own myself. I've been bought by a price. I'm owned by God. I'm His son. And I hope you're His son or His daughter. We've been bought with a price. In Corinthians 2, go 2 Corinthians with me. Well, I hadn't even thought about the time. 2 Corinthians, 6th chapter. I'll get there in a minute. Sixth chapter and verse number 14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Probably not many of you in here that ever plowed a mule like I did. And I can sure relate to that unequally yoked together. And I don't have it a couple more minutes anyway, so I'm going to give you an experience. We had a couple of meals at the house. Daddy always, he always had his own cake with his meal. Nobody plowed cake. Daddy, that was Daddy. We had a couple more. And one of them was a little old bitty feisty mule, and the other one was a big old slow fat thing. And I hooked him up one day to break some land. And we had a two-horse plow, so that means you got two mules to pull that thing. And I already told Daddy, I tried that little old feisty thing with a one-horse plow, and she runs so fast you couldn't keep it in the ground. I said, Daddy, you can't plow that mule. That mule ain't going to work. So I hooked her up with the two, figured that'd slow her down. Well, I was a little bitty fella at the time, too, and I said to myself, I'm going to slow you down, because when we started, she took off, and she was dragging the other mule and the plow and me, too. And I was so little that I could get up under the handle of the plow. You know, they come up and roll. And the plow comes up, the tongue goes out, and you got the blade down here. And I got under it and sunk that thing. Man, I buried it as deep as I could get it. And said, I'll stop you. I believe that little old mule was gone till she died. Didn't slow her down, not one bit. She was still dragging all of us and killing me trying to keep the plow buried. So, you know, you go back to your one horse. And since time is gone, I need to tell you the rest of that story. One day, Daddy got her, and the cotton, we had some cotton. It was up about that high. It had a little cotton king, you know, it got little bitty things on it. And I'd gone down the lower field, and I'd come back toward the house for some reason or another, and come by where Daddy was at in the field, at the end of the row, there sits the cotton king, and there sits the collar and all the gear laid back on the ground. I said, what in this world has happened? Come to find out, Daddy was headed to Benson with that mule to get rid of her. He didn't have to plow her but one time to find out, because he was just hitting the high spots with her because she wanted to run. And I don't know how we got off on that. But unequally yoked together is how we got on that morning. But, that's like you and I trying to run with the world. We're unequally yoked together, and it's not going to work. And it's 10:44. So Lord willing, we're going to keep looking at how we ought to behave ourselves in the house of God. And what is the house of God? And I'll tell you right now, it's not this building. But there's also, in God's Word, some things said about how you ought to behave yourself in this building. This is the sanctuary of Benson Grove Baptist Church. And there's a way that you and I ought to conduct ourselves in this building. Okay? God bless you, and thank you for listening.